For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Monday evening service of July the 5th, 1999, at the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. We'll have three different speakers. It'll be John Fletcher, Gisela Hulin, and Tommy Cook.
It's a privilege to have them come, and I trust I've been pronouncing her name wrong ever since I first got acquainted with them. But I never had anybody tell me how to say it right, and I still don't think I can. But anyway, help me, Phil. I think, huh? Gisela? Is that correct? Gisela. Gisela, okay. Well, anyway, come on up here, and her son Toby, who is her youngest son, and she's a grandmother, has a grandbaby back home in Manila, where her oldest son is holding the fort down for her. And I want her to greet you. She will be, I may have her either tomorrow night or Wednesday night, she will have the evening service. Okay? And I want her to have the afternoon ladies' session, whenever Sister Coffee would like, either tomorrow or Wednesday, or between you two, you decide. And I've asked her to do something that she says she can't do in a little short time. But anyway, she teaches the women over in Vietnam and in the Philippines, she teaches the women how to be a wife. And I thought that maybe some of the women here could use a little of that teaching as well. I'm serious. Okay. So anyway, I want her to greet us here for a little while and to tell us a little bit about the work over there, just a smidgen, and then she can do that either tomorrow night or Wednesday night. But they have quite a large work over there in Manila.
Okay, I'm very happy to be here tonight. And first, I want to thank Brother Glenn and Sister Emma for supporting us and this ministry for supporting us so faithfully. And I want to thank those of you who prayed for us, quite a few came to me and told me that they are praying. I want to thank you for it. You know, without financial support and without prayer, we cannot do anything out there. I've been 30 years on the mission field now, all over the world. But without faithful friends, we may as well stay home. So I want to thank you very much for it. The last 10 years, we have been in the Philippines. And about 5 years ago, the Lord took my husband home. So the Lord told me to keep on going. And I'm going. I learned what it means to have faith in God. And with Him, I know I can do it. And I did it this far. And I know He will never let me down because He is a God which loves us so much. In the Philippines, we have a home for unwed mothers. You know, it's devastating when the girls just give themselves away just to eat, to have food, give their bodies away, and then end up pregnant, and then they don't know what to do anymore. It's just finished. Their life is just at the end. And that's when they come through pastors, through friends to us. Our home is called Bethesda, which is a place of mercy and refuge. And then we get to help them to get out of the mess. We get to counsel them, which is quite a headache sometimes, and help them to get on their own 2 feet with the help of Jesus and leave Bethesda changed. I want to tell you a little story about one girl. Her name is Bing. She came to us after 3 abortion attempts. The first one, she took medication. The baby wouldn't go away. The second one, the bush midwife knitted her stomach like dough. The baby wouldn't go away. The third one, they took her by the arm and slammed her against the wall back and forth. The baby wouldn't go away. So she came in my house and she was sitting there holding her stomach saying, baby come out, like a nut, you know. And then came the time for delivery, and you know, the babies know what's going on, and the baby didn't want to come out. I have midwives who are missionaries too, so we have it free. We worked together as teams, but the baby wouldn't come out. So the midwife, after, you know, some hours, said, we cannot take the responsibility. You have to take her to the hospital. So I dropped her in the hospital. And, of course, we cannot be there. Usually we pray during delivery and all that. They have, so it's a lot easier. But in a hospital, you drop them, you go. And that's what we had to do. And then I got the phone call. The baby was out. So I went to the hospital. And, you know, the hospitals, they are very modern there. They have four ladies to one bed, sideways. The baby's in between. Or if it is just a narrow bed, you have two ladies. One has the head here, one the head here. That's the conditions in the hospital. And so I went to the hospital, and she said, Mom, just take this baby home. I don't want to see it. So I took the baby home. My kids named him David because it won against three Goliaths in its life already, so it can make it. And then Bing came home from the hospital eventually. And before long, the Lord just touched her, and she accepted the Lord. She changed. And a little later, she came with a baby in my arm, knocked on the office, and said, Mom, I want to keep my baby. Then I was able to help her to get a job with her baby for another missionary family to help them out with all their family. And after they left, they got on to Cambodia. They sent her to Bible school. Bing is now in her province teaching ladies. That's what the Lord can do. Even if sometimes we feel like giving up, there's no time to give up. Each of these lives are lives in God's hands. And he can make a miracle out of nothing. He can change them, make them out of nothing. He can make something awesome, something beautiful. And 100% of all the girls which came through our house over the years accepted the Lord, left us changed. I know of two who backslid. But we did our job. We planted the seed. We have been faithful. He asked us to be faithful in the little things. But what I love to do the best is to go out and evangelize. Much more than helping these pregnant ladies. In 1991, Mount Pinatubo erupted in Zambales, which is a province. And one third of the mountain blew up. In these mountain areas, there were unreached tribes. I got a list not too long ago from the States about the unreached tribes that were still on it. I wrote back that we already reached them. When Mount Pinatubo erupted, they had to come out. You know, usually it takes 2 days to hike into these mountains, to evangelize these little villages. Because sometimes it's just a few families. And here, the mountain erupted. They were forced to come out. The government picked them all up and put them in one large city called the Ten Cities. So we had about 36,000 people in one place. But they were running around in G-strings, the guys, the ladies topless, unreached. And then the Lord spoke to my husband that we should go in there to evangelize. And a few missionaries went with us, but, you know, they were kind of thinking, well, this is kind of weird. Missionaries can be weird too. But we went anyhow. Some of them stayed back and decided this is not for them because it's very primitive there. And you see what happened? They lost everything. Their villages were, I don't know how many meters and yards beyond the ash flow. There were 6 meter high waves coming down the mountain of ash and water mix, and it just killed them or buried them alive. The valleys were no more valleys. It just all disappeared. And Mount Pinatubo was their god. Their god is gone. He was yucky. He was ugly to them. So we went into these areas, and we went. It was like in Jesus' time. We went from village to village and preached the gospel, and people accepted the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know what? You may say, oh, maybe not the miracles. Miracles are no more for today. Well, you're wrong. I saw them. We saw how blind people could see. I prayed with one lady, and she looked at me and said, you look funny, like milk. Maybe they explained. She never saw a white lady before, huh? So, and, you know, the whole village, after she got healed, jumped up and down. Well, they know. They don't need a doctor to prove it. If the whole village is excited, you know that the Lord did a miracle. So, and deaf ears were open. Crippled got healed. We had one little boy. We sent letters out to all over the world to come and help us to evangelize. Malaysia and Singapore came. So one Malaysian team prayed for a little crippled boy. Nothing happened. But you know, when the next team came, the mama came and said, do you remember this boy? The last team prayed with him. Now he can walk. You know, sometimes the Lord doesn't heal immediately. It may take a little while. We don't know why. We can ask him when we get up there, but I think we lose interest then. It's finished. So, and we even got one girl got raised from the dead. I mean, it had no more, there was no more air, there was no pulse. I couldn't find anything on this little kid. It was declared dead. We prayed, and you have no imagination of time at that time. But after prayer, this child cried. This is what Jesus is doing today. Why don't we have faith in our God, no matter what our problems are? He can do it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.
Her husband was home to the States. Back he was Chicago. Was their home, I guess still kind of is, along with over in Germany. They got two homes. And it was 3 years ago this June, I believe, that he passed away. It's been five? Doesn't seem possible. Where does time go? Where does time go? But I've been touched. We get faxes from her for situations to pray, and when her grandbaby wasn't doing well, we got a fax every couple of weeks or so telling us about how the baby was doing, and the Lord has intervened and changed that baby until he's well and strong. Is that correct? Amen. Amen. So they needed a miracle at home as well as the miracles other places, and the Lord has answered. But I've been, I enjoy the little papers that they mail out every couple, 3 months, like kind of like ours, every 2 or 3 months. And but especially I enjoy her telling about her trips over to Vietnam. And didn't you go up to Cambodia too? No, just over to Vietnam. And how she has to get on the motorcycle here and ride a while and get off and go ride someplace else and then go and do this and that before she gets to where she's going, where the room is packed, where she can't hardly get through to up to the front to talk to the women that are there, have snuck in, aren't supposed to be there, but have snuck in to attend a meeting where they can hear about Jesus. And she teaches them how to be a wife and tells them about Jesus. And it just thrills me to read it. Amen. And that's, it's a privilege to be part of that work in the Philippines. Amen. Well, Dr. Fletcher, we finally got a chain on you. Come and minister to us here for a while, and then Brother Tommy will come and conclude. I trust we'll get out by midnight, at least by curfew time, huh? He's an inch taller than I am.
Good evening. I'm not Dr. Fletcher, I'm just John. How are you all this evening? I've been 3 years since I was here, and the last time I was here, Dr. Noel was up running around laughing, acting silly. I don't know what that was all about. My daughter came down with me. Mandy, why don't you stand up? Let me embarrass you. Come on, come on. That's Mandy. That's my almost 15-year-old daughter. Her mother and her sister, 12, are home. They're holding up that end of it. We're from Indiana, from up around the Indianapolis area, and Glenn and Irma was up about 3 years ago, and we haven't been the same since. So, you know, Irma wanted to know when I came in, said, are you saved yet? It's good to be here. I won't take much time. About a month ago, about the first of May, I heard something, and I didn't know if it was true or not, and then as of, well, it was actually before we came down here, I heard it again on a tape coming down by a fellow named Stuart Best. And then last week, there's a newspaper in Jerusalem newspaper called the Haharats, if I pronounced that right, and they supposedly confirmed it. On the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, under the threshold, Ezekiel 47 talks about how there's coming a time when water is going to flow out of there. And, you know, that's the passage where Ezekiel was taken out and he was in up to his ankle and on up and until he had, you know, he couldn't swim in it. Or he had to swim. And it was going to go out and it was going to heal everything it touched. And, of course, there have been all kinds of interpretations of that. I think the primary one has been it's symbolic of the Holy Spirit in the end times as he goes out through his people and pours out himself upon the world to heal and bring people in and what have you. But an interesting thing has happened according to this, to three or four reports, and now it's now being reported in a newspaper there in Jerusalem, that on the Temple Mount, that is where Abraham offered Isaac, and there's a rock there. A Jewish legend says that the rock they have there is the rock that one of the rocks of the altar that Abraham offered Isaac on. And as of the first week of May, according to the Haharash newspaper there in Jerusalem, water is flowing out of that rock. So much so that the Arabs have denied it, and there have been reports that said they tried to stop it, and they brought in all kinds of instruments and what have you, and they can't stop it. And, you know, we hear things, I said, gee, I wonder if that's true. Well, I don't know if it's true or not, and we do know that that's going to happen. But, you know, it was interesting as I sat and I listened to Gisela, is it? Okay. Estela. Oh. Gistela. Can we just call you, let me see, Gistela. How about Stel? How's that? But aren't you just fascinated when people begin to tell stories about blind eyes opening? And yet, when was the last time you prayed for somebody and they were healed? You know, we are getting ready. As a matter of fact, the Lord has shown me we're not getting ready to. We have entered into a time on planet Earth that's not going to be like any other time. And it's going to be good or it's going to be bad. And it's not going to be just good or bad. It's going to be either very good or very bad. And Jesus said in John 14 and 12, he said, most assuredly I say to you that whoever believes in me, the works that I do, he or she shall do. And even greater works than these shall he or she do. And that's why I asked the question, you know, I do a lot of counseling, and I've had ladies, Christian ladies, come to me whose husband has passed away, and some of them are 15, 20 years from the time when their husband died, and they're still grieving as if it were yesterday. They have no hope in their life. They have a spirit of grief on them. A lot of them have a spirit of self-pity on them. But whatever you want to call it, they have no victory in their lives, and they wish they were dead. There's a lot of Christians today that are, as the world is crumbling around them, as they see things coming down, spiraling, you do not have to be a spiritual giant to see what is happening in the world. There are individuals by the scores that are not saved. They don't have the Spirit of God. They don't want the Spirit of God. And yet they're looking around and they are saying, there's something that's going on in this world, and it's frightening. And I want to tell you something. They're saying that there might be as many as a billion Christians on planet Earth. September the 11th, 1999, according to some Hebrew calendars, is the end of the sixth millennium. It's the beginning of the seventh millennium. And there are now guesstimates that are saying sometime in August, man for the first time will reach the population of 6 billion. So I thought that was interesting. The number of man is 6, and if that September 11th date is right, and if we reach somewhere in August, September, the population of 6 billion with the number of man being 6, we end the 6th millennium, we go into the 7th millennium, the 6th day is over, we go into the morning of the 7th day, and the number of man is 6. Wouldn't it be like God to say it's time for man to come down? But I want to say something to you people here tonight. There are 5, if the number of a billion is right, there are 5 billion people out there that our Lord hung on the cross for. And He loves them just as much tonight as He ever has. And there's a whole lot of people, a whole lot of Christians that don't care. They're waiting to get raptured out of here. And let me tell you something. If those 5 billion are going to be reached, nothing has changed. It's going to happen through you. And thank God for women like this precious saint who says, my God is faithful, He's alive, and He said, I can, and she is, and He is through her, and people are being saved. Now, Glenn said, I want to spank you. The shepherd didn't come to beat up the sheep, and I didn't come to beat you up. But listen, folks, we have got to get serious. We have got to get to. Do you understand that you have in you the anointing of God? The anointing. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I don't care what you've got going on in your life. First of all, Jesus Christ will forgive you. I was sitting there tonight, and as they were singing, I know who holds tomorrow. And the Lord spoke to me and said, there are those here tonight that don't care about tomorrow. They're wondering who holds today. Let me tell you, the guy that holds the future and tomorrow holds today. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Make it through today. And I'll be with you today. And today is a day of salvation. You'll make it through if you keep your eyes on me. And not only will you make it through, but listen to me, Jesus says, not only will you make it through, but we will go forth and we will do great and mighty things, and we will bring people into the kingdom of God, and I will use you in spite of yourself. It is time that the church of Jesus Christ stands up and they be counted again like the first church was. There are 5 billion people out there, and Jesus Christ wants to use you. He's given you an anointing. He's given you His Spirit, and His life can live through you. And the miracles that once walked in the church day after day after day that are now walking in places where people have had everything taken away from them are coming back to the church, but it's only going to be a remnant. Are you going to be part of the remnant? Do you want the life of Jesus Christ to live through you, or do you want to go on complain and be defeated? For goodness sakes, before you leave this camp meeting, if tonight's your last night, you get set free of whatever holds you back from going to a lost and dying world and letting the power of God pour through you. That's all I want to say.
Reach out to me, saith the Lord. I am with thee. I will hear your cry. Yea, I will hear as you cry out to me, saith the Lord, and I shall answer thee. I shall thrust thee out as well into the sheepfold. I shall thrust thee out into the earth. I shall thrust thee out, saith the Lord. Be not fearful and be not afraid. For yea, I've called you, and I will equip thee, saith the Lord. If thou shalt be faithful to go forth, I shall bless thee. And I shall bring many into the kingdom in this hour. So be not fearful, my people. Obey my voice, saith the Lord. God, let's stand together. Hallelujah. Let's all pray. Let's all pray in the Spirit. Kila brasakatara broso hotara bahandela bekita. Kila brahandela broko talabasikatara broso kotara basitaya. Kila brahandela broko talabasikatara basakatara broso taya. Kila brahandela broso kotara basikataya. Oriam dala brasica tala brasia da braca tatara brasataya. Tole brasica tatara brosoco tara brasica tara bahaya. We praise you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord God. Kila brasa karabo solo rekia tala brosoco tala brasia andala bracataya. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Now let's go into warfare. Let's rebuke the enemy. Come on. In the name of Jesus, we bind your power. We bind you, foul devils. You have no place in this place. In the name of Jesus, we take dominion and authority over you. Every foul, wicked demon, every foul spirit, every ungodly, unclean spirit, we command you to leave this place. We take dominion over you. We bind you in the name of Jesus. We command you to leave this place, leave the people, leave their thoughts, their minds, their emotions. Leave them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we speak peace to this people. We speak peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, I take dominion over all rebellion. I take dominion over all authority of the enemy in the name of Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're head. You are Lord of this place tonight. And we give you honor and glory and praise, Lord God. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. We bless you and we honor you. We lift you up, Jesus. We lift you up, Jesus. We lift you up, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, pray some more in the Holy Ghost. Kila bra katara brosoko tara brasa katara brosita. Kita tara brosoko tara brasi katara brasataya. Oria sa katoro brosa katara brasi katara brasaya. Arroso kile brasi andala bra katara brasaya. Oria anda brasa katoro brosi andala bra kitara brosotaya. Oh, Jesus, 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 we pray for that anointing. We'll walk these aisles, Lord God. Walk these aisles, Lord God. Send forth your mighty angels, Lord. Chase every force out of this place. Chase every enemy out of this place tonight, Lord God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. May the Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm very glad you're here tonight. Praise God. How many know Jesus is here tonight? How many believe Jesus is Lord here tonight? Good to see Brother John Fletcher with us tonight. Praise God. Good to have John down from Indianapolis area. Let's go to the scriptures in just a minute. We want to go into maybe some in Revelation. Some, John. Praise God. How many thank God, though, for Jesus? I mean, know that, I mean, know he was the true, he is the true seed. And from Genesis to Malachi, the seed was always coming. And from Matthew to John, the seed dies. And in the book of Acts, the seed is living. And in the from Romans to Jude, the seed speaks. And in Revelation, the seed is reigning. I mean, I want to reign with him. Yeah. Hallelujah. I want to rule and reign with Jesus. Yeah. I really do. Praise God. Let's go over to Revelation here and see what the Lord is going to do. Praise the Lord. I don't know myself. Amen. Praise God. Revelation. I mean, to know that there's a holy city. It's not Tulsa, Oklahoma either. In Revelation 21, before I get into this, how many know that it is a holy city? How many know there's a holy God in this holy city? It's New Jerusalem. It is a bride. It is the Lamb's wife. Well, there's two scriptures that says a bride, and it says the bride. It is the great city, and it's called Holy Jerusalem. I want to be part of Holy Jerusalem. Don't you? Anybody want to be part of Holy Jerusalem? Praise God. Now, in Revelation 21, verse 2, John said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. And notice it was coming down. from God, not going up. We talked so much about being raptured, but this is coming down, isn't it? How many know we're seated with Christ tonight in heavenly places? It's coming down from God out of heaven. Heaven is the realm of the Spirit, Spirit realm. I believe heaven's real, though. How many know if you die tonight in Jesus, you're going to go to heaven? Praise God, but I'm not ready yet. I want to wait a while. Praise the Lord. Well, how many know our time's not always our time? It's His time. But it's coming down out of heaven prepared as a bride adorned or garnished for her husband. How many know the husband's Jesus? Praise God. We're not married. Listen, we're not married to a church. We're not married to ministry. Although we love ministry and we respect them and honor them and pray for them. I mean, we're married to Jesus. We're married to Jesus. And so, I don't want to be married to anybody except Jesus. Now, look in Isaiah 52. Let me give you a couple of scriptures here as we start out here. We're going to stay in 21 a lot. And so, we may not jump all around tonight. I don't know. But in Isaiah 52, I mean, we're nothing without Jesus tonight. In Isaiah 52, verse 1, awake, awake. I believe we need to wake up, don't you? Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. How many know he's talking about a people here? How many know natural city can't put on natural garments? Then he said, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. And I'm going to tell you, God is not going to let the uncircumcised and the unclean be in that city. Can you say amen? Amen. There won't be any there. Now, look in Isaiah 60. And look at verse 13, I believe it is. Isaiah 60. And in verse 13, yes. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine, and the box together to beautify the place of my sanctuary. I will make the place of my feet glorious. And we believe he's the head tonight. And we're the feet. We are the bodies going to walk into some things in this hour. And I want to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. He's going to cross Jordan. Go right through death into life. Can you say amen? The sons also of them that are afflicted thee shall come. Bending, he says here, unto thee. And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. They're going to call you the city. Praise the Lord. Then in chapter 62, look at verse 12. 62 verse 12. And here it says, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to be part of that great, great city, don't you? Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, we're just leading up a little foundation here, and then we go into the chapter 21 here in a minute. Matthew 5, and I want to look at verse, let's see, let me find it here. In Matthew 5, in verses 14, you are the light of the world, a city. How many see that? A city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. I mean, the church won't be hid in this hour. It's not going to be swept off the corner. Hey, the world's going to know about this church that he's bringing forth, isn't it? Isn't that true? Let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 in the New Testament. Praise the Lord. In verse 8. And it says in verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. Have you ever been in that experience? By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles and so forth. Verse 10, for he looked for a what? What did he look for? A city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so there's many other scriptures I could give you on that. Tonight, brethren, we are God's tabernacle. How many believe that? Yes. In the outer court, there's a visitation. In the holy place, there's a manifestation. How many know there's the power of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit? There's speaking in tongues, prophecy, and all those wonderful gifts that God moves. But in the Holy of Holies, how many know there's habitation? God's wanting you and I to that fullness, amen, of Him to come in us tonight and tomorrow and the next day and so forth. Praise God. So there's a visitation, there is a manifestation, and there is habitation. And so we are the tabernacle of God. We are the dwelling of God. We are the house of God. We are the mansion of God. Did you know you're the mansion of God? Look in John 14. I mean, this blows to some of this old theology we got. Come on. It blew mine too. Man, John 14. I've never been to heaven. I don't know what it's like, but I know it's a glorious place. But look here in John 14. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled or agitated. You believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house. Yeah. How many know Jesus was the first house? He's the house we look to. Come on, somebody say amen. In my Father's house, hallelujah, are many mansions, are many rooms, are many dwelling places. Isn't that right? Many abodes. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And I don't take Jesus 2,000 years to build a mansion. How many know heaven's already there? Isn't that right? He's not making heaven. He's already made it back way back there. And so, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. How many want to know what that place is? All right, John knows. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will do something. That coming first is in you. Isn't it? Sure, it's going to be in the air. But that coming is in us tonight. That's what I was going to preach on early, but I felt to go away. I'm going. But he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself that where I am. Well, where is you, Jesus? Where am you, Jesus? Huh? Where I am, there you may be. What? Come on. Also, well, let's see where I am. All right. Look here in verse 10. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Believest thou not that I am where? Where's he at? Now, if he's in the Father, where I am, there you can be also. Where's he taking you and me? Come on. Who is the Father? Who is God the Father? Come on now. He is a spirit, isn't he? Huh? He said right here in verse 10, notice, I'm in the Father. Now, look at verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Now, look up to verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me. Now, go back here to verse 3. He said, what? I go to prepare a place. Where's that place? It's in the Father. We know Jesus as Savior tonight. We're to know the Holy Ghost as the baptizer. Of course, Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost, but we know the Holy Ghost in relationship. And then we're going to know, and we're becoming to know the Father. Amen? Now, he said, in my Father's house are what? Look down to verse 23 now. Here's the same word. In my Father's house are many rooms, many dwellings, many abodes. Back to what it means. Verse 23, Jesus said, if any man love me, he will keep my words or my sayings or my commandments, and my Father will love him. And we, Father and Son, will come unto him or into him and make our mansion with him. Where's the mansion at? Where's the dwelling place? It's in us. How many know he's doing a work in us? We're all looking to get our big mansion in heaven. I want to tell you something. He's doing something in you. I don't know what it's going to be like in heaven. How many is going to be a glorious place? It's something glorious taking place. How many of heaven's coming to this earth? This earth. Can you say amen? And so we are the tabernacle of God, the dwelling of God, the house of God, the habitation of God, the mansion of God, the city of God. And so the city is coming down. Now let's go to Revelation 21. And notice there's going to be some left out of this city. First of all, I'm going to deal with that. Revelation 21. I don't want to be left out. Do you? A person would be a fool to be left out of what God's doing. Isn't that right? 21:8 says, the fearful the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. How many know that they have no part of this city? Then we look down to chapter 21, verse 7, 27. And there shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. I mean, thank God your name's in the Lamb's book of life tonight. Praise God. Now let's go to Isaiah 35 just a second. Isaiah 35. How many believe it's going to be a holy walk for all of us? And it says in chapter 35, it says in verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, then shall the lame man leap as a hart, the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams of the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grassed with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there and a way, and shall be called the way of holiness. How many see that?
Yes.
The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Hallelujah. To return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody want to walk that way? That's the way of the Lord, isn't it? How many thank God for Jesus tonight? Amen. So the city is descending. Praise God. I'm going to skip over this right now. Hallelujah. I got all kind of notes up here, John. Praise God. Now, in chapter 21 here of Revelation, where we're talking about the city, how many know there are 12 gates in this city? And it leads into the city of the living God. Now, I want to tell you who the city is. It's you and me, whether you believe it or not. You are a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. But the 12 gates speak of 12 experiences which progressively unfold from the Christ nature from within you. How many know that's the Lord's divine nature that I spoke about the other night? The 12 gates speak of 12 entrances into light. How many believe when you come through all those 12 gates, you'll be a mature Christian? Anybody want to go that way? Hallelujah. Now look here in chapter 21, verse 11. How many believe the Lord's changing us? Repentance, dying to our flesh, deliverance, whatever it takes. How many know God's going to clean His people up?
Yes.
And in chapter 21, verse 11, brethren, it says something here. It said this city that John saw as he was taken into this high mountain, as he saw the city coming down from God, in verse 11, notice having or echoing the glory of God. I want to tell you, Jesus prayed to the Father that we'd have that glory. It's not going to be guesswork. The church is going to be filled with the glory of the living God. Somebody say amen.
Yes.
Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone. How many know that stone is the Lord Jesus Himself?
Yes.
Which is most precious, even like a jasper stone. But look at this. Clear as crystal. How many know the Lord wants us to come to a place also in His image where the church will be clear as crystal. Without demons, come on. Without darkness, without a mixture. Where we can see through one another with pure eyes as the Lord sees into us with pure eyes. Can you say amen? And you can only do that as you allow the Lord to come in you and wash you and cleanse you. Isn't that right?
Yes.
I mean, thank God for that. Hallelujah. That He's doing that. Amen?
Amen.
Now look down to verse 18. Also, He talks about this city like clear glass. In verse 21, transparent glass. But how's all this happening? How's all this clearness coming about? Look in 22:1. How many know that water is a picture of glass in one sense? 22:1. He showed me a pure river. Come on. Of life. Clear as crystal. Coming out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. How many know that river leads you back to the Lamb of God? Without the Lamb, there'd be no river. Can you say amen?
How many thank God for that clearance tonight? That river tonight. He is the river of life. He's the water of life. He's the fountain of life. Amen? He's the crown of life. He's the book of life. How many know Jesus is life? Praise God. Now, so there's not going to be any shadows. No death when God gets through. No curse. No limitation. No darkness. No demons. I mean, there's going to be a time you're going to be rid of all your demons. I mean, how many shout then? Hallelujah. Amen. We're coming to clearness, reality, the glory of God, the nature of God is coming in and pushing that stuff out of us as we submit to God. God was in man. God, Jesus came as the Son of God, but how many know he's also the Son of Man? God in man in fullness, and man, he's bringing man into God, into his fullness. Praise the Lord. We'll never be God. We'll never be Jesus. Come on. We'll come into his image and likeness. He's always ahead. He's always the exalted one. Somebody say amen. And so in this city is one street. Look in, let's find that here in chapter 21. Somebody help me find that street. And did you know it didn't say streets? I didn't know that for years. I hear people talk about the streets of gold. It don't say streets of gold. Where is that scripture? Who can find it for me real quick? 20, thank you, John. 22:2? Okay, yeah, there's also another one in 21. In the midst of the streets. See, singular. Let me see that. 21:21. All right, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls and so forth. And the street, singular, of the city was what? What was it? Pure gold, as it were transparent glass. One street of gold. How many know we got one walk we're going to walk? It's a holy walk. How many know it's a narrow walk? But we're going to walk with that nature of Christ in us, that divine nature. Amen? How many know gold is his nature tonight? Praise God. Perfected through suffering. How many believe that? Now this city is the Holy of Holies. It's a cube. Absolute perfection. The same from all directions. And then this city had something around it. What was around that city? A wall. A wall. Now, that's important. I mean, no, that's God's protection. You know, protective hedge or wall. His presence, his nature. No enemy can come over that wall. You can't even build stilts and get over it. Come on. You can't get over that wall if you're on the outside of it, can you? The city... Listen now, the city is a people. The people is the abode for the fullness of God, his dwelling place. The city is the body of Christ. That city is the Lamb's wife, the bride of Christ, heavenly and holy Jerusalem. I said that. That city is a perfected church. It is the tabernacle of God. And those 12 gates of that city are what? What are they? What are those 12 gates? What are those 12 gates of the city? They're 12 pearls, aren't they? 12 pearls. 12 experiences in Christ, again, which progressively unfold from the Christ nature within you. How many know we have been saved? We're now being saved, and we're going to be saved. Spirit, come on, soul, and body. I have been delivered. I am now being delivered, and I shall be delivered. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 12 gates going into the city, and to be part of the people and this city, we have to go through, I believe, all 12 gates, all 12 experiences in our God. Praise the Lord. So again, there are 12 gates, 12 pearls, 12 entrances into the city. Now, what do pearls speak of? They speak of suffering. How many has ever said it on pearls? I have a track on pearls that's tremendous. I don't know where it's at, but it's tremendous. It speaks of irritation. Suffering, struggling, wrestling, discomfort, agony. Anybody been going through any of that? Misunderstanding, the fellowship of his suffering. And when you think of pearls, you think of something that's of value, that's very precious, costly, and worth. Hallelujah. Now, there's no way we can come into that city, listen, apart from the fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, teachers, shepherds, and evangelists. How many know God put them in the church to perfect or mature the church? How many believe that? Amen? It'll bring us to the fullness. The street into the city is one street. Now, I said that. Which speaks of us, of his nature, because it's pure gold. One walk in God, a nature in us that's perfect through suffering. This city, again, is a cube and so forth. I'm going to skip over that right now. Praise God. How many know in this city the Lamb is the light of it? The Lamb is the light of this city. Praise God. The city is a people who are the expression of spirit, soul, and body, a place of rest where God becomes all in all. Now, let's talk about this wall a little bit. Let's find some scripture on the wall. Look down to verse 12 in chapter 21. And had a great wall and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, the name written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now on the east three gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, on the west three gates, and the wall of the city had how many foundations? 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Praise God. So it had 12 gates, and there was a wall around the city. Praise God. Now, I believe that the gates are spiritual gates. I mean, oh, God had angels at these gates. And the wall itself speaks of a barrier to the outsiders. A spiritual wall to keep out intruders. And it will keep others on the inside. It will keep others without. It will keep others in. I mean, the wall speaks of security. You cannot scale this wall, as I said. You cannot leap over this wall. You cannot peek over it and want to see, look in. I mean, you got to come through the door. His name's Jesus. It is a high wall. Someone is on the inside. It is a wall of fire, Zechariah says. How many believe His presence is covering us tonight? Anybody want to stay under that presence? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you know, in the beginning, in Genesis, God had a woman. Her name was Eve, right? Had a man. His name was Adam. And God put him where? Where did He put him? Put him in the garden. And we know there was the tree of life as well as other trees. There was the river that flowed in the garden, but when it came out of the garden, it went into four heads. How many know that out of unity, there is diversity? Which is good. Amen? It was one river in the garden, but when it came out, it flowed into four heads. How many know four is the number of the world? I want to tell you something. Nobody's got a corner of the Holy Ghost. He's worldwide, isn't He? Praise God. Now, but there was something missing in Genesis. There was no wall. There was no fence. And the serpent came in. In Revelation, there's a woman, the bride. There's a man. There's a man child. There's a garden. How many know it's the city of God? There's a tree of life. There's a river of God. But this time, there's a wall around that city. Hallelujah. It's going to keep that serpent out. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Let's give Him praise. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So it's a spiritual fence. It's a spiritual wall. It's solid. It's unable to be breached from without. And the wall around the city of Jerusalem. All right, what is the city now? What's the city? What did I tell you what the city was? The church. The bride, right? Praise God. All right? But there's a wall around that bride. Now, let's look at this wall here just a second. Let me find the scripture. Come on down and help me. Look up to verse 17. He measured the wall thereof, and it's 144 cubits, according to the measure of something. How many believe God's raising a man up? Corporate man. The measure of the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He said, according to the man, that is, of the angel, which is the spiritual dimension. Hallelujah. Now, I teach and I believe that the bride of Christ is the city. But that wall speaks of the sons of God, the overcomers, that's around that city and protecting that city, the Lord in those people, of course. Hallelujah. And so, in this city, there were 12 apostles. The names of the Lamb. 12 angels, those gates. 12 pearls, 12 entrances, 12 openings, 12 tribes over the gates, 12 foundations. How many know 12 is what? What's 12? Divine government. How many of you know that the church, much of the church, don't like government? But before Jesus comes, government will be in his church. Now look in Revelation 12. And whether we like it or don't like it, it's going to be in the church, isn't it? Jesus is going to have government in his church. Now look at verse 1. There appeared a great sign or wonder. I've read the scripture. I don't know how many times I've preached down here. In heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, that's the glory of God. The moon's under her feet. How many know that's authority? Standing on the old moon church. And upon her head was a crown of how many stars? 12 is divine government. But notice, these 12 stars represent 12 apostles of the Lamb. In this woman, in this bride, in this church that the Lord is bringing forth will be apostolic authority before Jesus comes. How many know we need some apostles in this hour to come to the church? And God has them. He's raising them up. I don't know who all they are. You know, I don't think they'll just go around saying they're apostles. How many know you'll know one when you see one? He'll just function as an apostle. But let me tell you what goes with an apostle. A lot of things. But the first sign of an apostle is not signs and wonders. It's all patience. Did you hear what I said? So if you're an apostle, I want to see all that patience. Amen. We got all kinds of people saying they're apostles today. How many know in Ephesians chapter 2, that church tried those people who said they were apostles and found out that many were liars. I don't want to be a liar if I'm called. If I'm called to be an apostle, I want to function, wouldn't you? But if I'm not, I sure wouldn't want to tell people I am. But this church will have apostolic authority in her. How many know an apostle can also be a prophet? He's also a teacher. He's a shepherd. And he can evangelize. He can do all five. How many know the first apostle was Jesus? Our high priest, our apostle Jesus. Can you say amen? You know who was the first to come into the revelation of Jesus? Jesus. Did you know that? Look in chapter 1, verse 1. Hallelujah. The revelation of who? Jesus Christ, which what? God gave unto him. God gave Jesus the revelation of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the first. He's the first apostle to have the revelation. It wasn't John or Peter or all those others who had it. It was Jesus. How many know to get the revelation of Jesus, you've got to go to Jesus. Hallelujah. We go to this guy and that guy, but let me say, go to Jesus. He's got it. Hallelujah. So this city has the very government of God in her. This city has three gates on the east, three on the west, three on the north, and three on the south. What's the number three? It's the number of completion. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Spirit, soul, and body. Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacle. Now, it had three on the east, right? Three on the west, north, and south. So you got three gates in each section. That means 12. That's four different sections, right? And number four is what? Creation of the world. Jesus died for the whole world. And those who receive him can come from any direction into this city of the living God. Can you say amen? Yes. From the east, west, north, and south. And the wall was measured. I'm going to touch those gates just a minute. And the city and the wall and the gates were measured. If you look in verse 17 again, chapter 21. I'm getting ahead of myself. He measured the wall, verse 17, again, there, which is 144 cubits according to the measure of man. Then in verse 14, the wall in the city had 12 foundations and of the 12 apostles, he said. Then verse 18, the building of the wall was jasper, the city was pure gold, like unto what? Okay, clear glass. And so the building material of the wall was jasper. This stone was the first stone. The jasper stone, listen, was the first stone in the breastplate in the Old Testament. Excuse me, it's the last stone in the Old Testament, I believe it was. And it's the first in the New Testament. Jesus is the first and he's the last. And he's everything in between. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so I could talk a lot about that stone. I got a lot of things here I'm just skipping over. Now look to verse 18. Look at verse 18. I'm going to come back on those dimensions just a minute. The building of the wall, if it was of jasper, the city was what? What was the city? Now, who's the city? If we're the city, and it was pure gold, how many know he's putting his divine nature in us? Yes. Come on, amen? He's filling us with that divine nature, the gold of God. Where do you find that gold? Where do you find that gold? Fried in the fire. You want the gold? You go into the fire. And you'll get the gold. Come on, somebody say. Job talked about it. Peter talked about it. Revelation talks about it. All kind of scripture, we could look that up. Hallelujah. So we need the gold tonight, don't we? And it's pure gold. Praise God. Now, you notice something? In verse 22, is it verse 22 here? Yeah. I saw no temple therein. How many know over and over we're called the temple of God? But when John saw this city, he didn't see a temple. Because he said something. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. How many know plants eat the nutrients, animals eat the plants, and man eats the animal? How many know we're going to be swallowed up in God? You're not going to be seen. Come on. It's not going to be flesh. It's going to be carnality. The Lord's going to be seen in us. How many want the Lord to be seen in you? Oh, yes. Praise God. So the east, the north, the south, and west, these entrances into the city. How many know that the east speaks of the sunrise? It speaks of the glory of God coming into the city. And I could take you in all these scriptures and show you about the east. And then there's the north, a cold climate, the wind, the ice, the snow, and the natural. Like in Russia, many live there. Other countries, it's under communism, under the dominion of the devil. How many know promotion comes not from the west or the east or the south, but it's coming from where? The north. The north speaks of tribulations and trials and afflictions and hardships. How many know they're going to be in the city? Somebody say amen. And then those that come from the south, the warm breezes from the south, but the south speaks of the power of God. It can also speak of those who have fallen and transgressed, who turn back to God. How many know he's married to the backslider? And then the west, the setting of the sun, those who come in at evening time also have a place in this city. Hallelujah. You read Matthew 20. How many know there's some that's going to come in the last hour? Work 1 hour. Amen. Going to get the same reward. Isn't that true? Yeah. Now look in chapter 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter in through the gates into the city. Praise God. I want you to notice that verse. First of all, they're blessed. They're blessed. This people is blessed. Let me tell you, if you become an overcomer, you're going to be blessed. And you're going to bless others. Can you say amen? Blessed are those that do his commandments. Without him, we can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ, right? He's going to strengthen me. Blessed are those that do his commandments, his words, his sayings, that they may have the right or the privilege or the authority to something. How many know that's Jesus? The tree of life is Jesus. Now, hold your place, look back to Revelation 2:7. Let's see who has that right, that privilege, that authority. Revelation 2:7 says this, hallelujah. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. All right, who's going to partake of that tree of life? That overcomer. All right, back to Revelation 22. What's he saying here now? He's saying to us, we're going to be blessed if we do those commandments. If we walk in the Word, do the Word of God, do what he says, we're going to have the right to that tree of life, and also we're going to enter into the gates. How many gates are there? 12. Divine government. They're going to be partaker of the tree of life, and they're going to be the first to walk in divine government. Hallelujah. The government of God into the city. And that's maturity. And that's perfection. Hallelujah. I sure want that. Amen. I sure want that. Don't you? Praise God. Now, look down in Revelation here. Look in chapter 21. And what did he say in verse 19? The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Now, we're going to touch on these stones a little bit. And I have another message to go with this. But to teach that message, I have to go into Genesis 49, Deuteronomy 33, Ezekiel chapter 28, Revelation 7, and this chapter. And I mean, it's a big teaching. How many know you can't get that with your head out in the parking lot? All right. Now, you can't do it. In verse 19, the first foundation was what? Jasper. This one is a translucent stone of various colors, especially that of fire. How many know our God is a consuming fire? This stone is seen also, look back to Revelation 4, if you will, please, and keep your place there. In Revelation chapter 4. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 4. How many believe God is beginning to open a lot of things up to our hearts as we're open to Him in this hour? Revelation 4, it says in verse 3, John saw one on the throne, and he said, "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and a rainbow was around about the throne." So the one he saw was like jasper. Everybody see that? Praise God. And so, John saw his countenance being described as jasper. He was given off, if I could say, a red glow. At the same time, he was bright and very shining. This signifies redemption, purity, and at the same time, judgment. What's the next stone in chapter 21? The next stone is... I'm getting ahead of myself. The sardius stone and the jasper were similar color, okay? Now, the next one is sapphire. Sapphire is a blue. I don't know much about stones because I don't have any. I got a wedding ring, that's it. But sapphire is blue. This speaks of the heavenlies. I mean, thank God for the heavenlies tonight. Hallelujah, that we live in. But it's a hard stone. It's almost like the diamond. This stone varies in shade of blue, which means it has various degrees of the heavenlies in it. I mean, the Bible said when Jesus was baptized, the heavens was open. When Ezekiel saw visions of God, the heavens were open. Now, I know there's a great controversy about three heavens. Now, listen to this. Some say the first heaven is in the atmosphere. Some say the second heaven is where the stellar, the planets and all those things are. Then where God is. But there's others that teach this, that there's where God and Jesus is. Second heaven is where the archangels are, and the bottom one is where angels and the redeemed are. I don't know. You figure it out. Hallelujah. It don't really matter. I mean, no, it's the real place. Praise God. I'm not going to argue over it. Praise the Lord. But this sapphire stone ranks next in hardness to the diamond. And then there's the chalcedonia. That is a green stone signifying what? What does green signify? Life. It comes from deep down in the earth where it derives its color. It also resembles the carnelian. And then there's the emerald, which we know also is green. Green in color. A transparent stone signifying hope. How many thank God we have hope tonight? It also signifies life and purity. He's our life. He's our purity. He's all of that. And it was the appearance of the throne, again, in Revelation 4:3. That emerald was around about the throne. Remember that? And there was described along with the other stones as giving off the appearance of the rainbow, as we read that a while ago. The rainbow, of course, was the promise that God gave in the Old Testament. But anyway, this stone speaks of fullness of light and so forth here in the church. Then the next one is what? What's the next stone? Sardonyx. That sardonic stone is red and it's white. Red and white. It signifies redemption and holiness together by love. And it was used among the Romans both for cameos and for signets. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about some city coming out of the sky full of diamonds. I'm talking about a people that's taking on the very nature and the light of God in these stones. I ain't looking for no city coming down out of the heavens. a natural city. But I'm looking for people that's part of this bride that I'm part of. Hallelujah. I mean, we got a lot of traditions that needs to be tore up and destroyed in us. Amen? Praise God. Now, the next stone is the Sardius stone. It was yellowish brown, giving the appearance of a flame, like a flame, signifying force and rulership. Force and rulership. As fire changes the nature of the other elements, so nothing shall stand before the burning presence of the Lord when he sets up his throne within the hearts of men. Hallelujah. I may believe he's in us tonight. He's in me. He's in you. Not only was it yellow and a brown stone, it also was like a transparent red type stone, like a cornelian as well. The beauty of this stone was its transparent brilliance made it a favorite among the ancients. So there's a lot in these stones, and you can come up with a lot more things than what I'm giving you tonight. We're just really touching this thing tonight. Then there's the chrysolite. I say it is God's color. It symbolizes the nature of the love of God. How many thank God for his love tonight? Brethren, it was the greatest message there is in the Bible is the love of God. You can know all about demons. You know all about the end time. But how many know we need Jesus in his love? And I got a little book back there called The Love of God. That's one of the best books I think we're put out on the love of God. And just in a few minutes, the Lord dropped that right in my heart. And I wrote it down and we put it out. We need the love of God, don't we? I need it. You need it. Praise God. Amen. It's a gold stone. Now it would probably be called like a topaz. And then there's the beryl. The beryl stone, it was a sea green. And this green would complete the third shade of green that I've mentioned, two of them before, among the stones, which symbolizes the completeness of life. The rainbow, the green, you know, the sea and the trees, green trees, all kind of things we could say that's green today. But life will come forth from the nations and tongues and languages. This life of God in the nations is going to be part of this great body. I'm like John. I don't know how many saved. I don't know how many know Jesus, but I'll tell you what. We're at the end of this age. And God's army has to come forth now. Because the Lord, I told you, the Lord's going to transport them around the world. I mean, he's going to literally do that now. What's going to happen after that, he only knows. But it's going to be a powerful thing. All right, then, what's the next stone? Topaz. The topaz is yellow. It's almost as hard as the diamond. It's almost hard as the diamond. It has power of double refraction, and when heated and rubbed, it becomes electric. I mean, when we get heated up with the Holy Ghost, we become electric. Hallelujah. Anybody want some electricity in you tonight? Praise God. And then here's this last one that's real easy to pronounce. Somebody like John can pronounce it. C-H-R-Y-S-O-P-R-S-A-S-U-S. Somebody pronounce it for me. I want to make sure I got it right. You know how. Chrysopressus? I don't know. Okay. How do you say that? Oh, okay. Thank you. I'll take your word. It's gold and green. Green mixed with gold. The nature of God and the life of Christ come forth to blend with the other lights of the city. It must here be noted. Listen. Now listen to this. That it was one of the stones missing from Ezekiel 28:13. Do you know that you know what, brother? Listen, in Ezekiel 28, what's he called? What's the one called in Ezekiel 28, if you know your Bible? Lucifer. But did you know that that word is a Latin word? Did you know what how many's ever saw his name in the Hebrew? It's Heliel. Do you know that? If you don't believe it, go back and get a Strong's back there and look it up. There were three archangels that we know. Michael, come on, help me now. Gabriel and Heliel. Lucifer is a Latin word that's been put in. It really took the place of the morning star Jesus. How many know he could never take the place of Jesus? He wanted to. How many know he hates Jesus? Amen? Amen. Now, what did I say? That's one of the stones missing in Ezekiel. How many stones did the devil have? Did Lucifer have? Had nine. Three are missing. How many are glad he didn't have 12 stones? Praise God. Then the last one is, there's another one called Jacinth. Is that the way you pronounce it? It's dark blue, meaning heavenly purification and the overshadowing. It was like a dark blue iris similar to the sapphire. Hello, sapphire. Okay. Now, then there's the amethyst. It's the wine color. It's the wine color. The Greek means not drunken. Not drunken. This stone refers to the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And how many know that he is the first and he's the last? Amen. 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 Praise God. And you know, brethren, it was the last stone in the foundation. And who was the last son of the 12th? Benjamin. And in that stone, I believe you see first Jesus, the first fruits. But you also see the overcomer as first fruits, okay? Hallelujah. There's a scripture said he washed his garments in wine, his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, his teeth white with milk. Three missing stones. Now listen, three missing stones. The seventh stone, the chrysolite, the Holy Ghost stone. Devil didn't have it. The tenth stone, that word that he pronounced a while ago. That's the Christ stone. Chrysopharasus. It's a hard word for me to pronounce. And the 12th stone, amethyst, the blood of Jesus Christ, the devil didn't have. But hallelujah. He's putting the Holy Ghost in us, the Christ in us, and his blood is in us. Somebody say amen. Praise God. I got so much more. I'm not going to go into it. But I tell you, I want to be part of that city in this hour. Before I close, turn to Revelation 19. And that's it. All right. Doctor. This is it, Doctor. No. Chapter 19. Look at verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage, come on, of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Verse 9, and he said to me, Right blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. Hallelujah. The marriage of the Lamb. But notice, his wife has made herself ready. How many of them want to be ready to be married to Jesus? Again, we're not married to ministry or to preachers or to a group or a church or an organization. We're married to Jesus. He is the husband. Amen? Let's stand and let's praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you. We bless you tonight, Lord. We honor you tonight, Lord. We praise your wonderful name tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah. We glorify your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's thank the Lord for being part of that city tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your body, your city, Lord, the Lamb's wife is coming forth. The one that you're married to, Lord. The one that you have intimacy with, Lord God. Hallelujah. Communion, fellowship with, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you are the bridegroom. We're married to you. We honor you. We glorify you. We praise your wonderful holy name tonight, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lamb of God, for letting us be part of this great city. In the name of Jesus, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for not only the city, but I thank you for the overcomers that are standing up and being raised up, Lord God, to do this last work in this end time. Father, let us all be thrust out into your work. Lord, at your bidding and your direction by the Holy Ghost. Father God, we can be a witness, a testimony wherever we go. Let us reach out to others, Lord God. As you reach out to us, let us touch others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, let us see many souls come to the kingdom in this hour. Oh, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want every head bowed right now in the name of Jesus. If there's anyone in this building that does not know Jesus tonight, you do not know him as Savior, I want you to come and give your life to Jesus tonight. We give you the opportunity now to receive Jesus as Savior. If you're in this building tonight and you're not walking close to the Lord as you want to and you should have, come and we're going to pray for you tonight. If you're not in that place with God where you should be tonight, God gives that extension to you tonight to come. Let us minister and pray for you tonight. Praise God. Don't allow yourself to be lukewarm or cold. Don't allow that coldness and lukewarmness to come in. He wants us to be hot, on fire for Him tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We'll give you that opportunity. Come right on. That's right. Just come right on up. Anyone else that you feel you're away from the Lord and you want to come on nigh to Him and know Him in a greater dimension, obey the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Just obey God. Obey the Holy Spirit. Do what He tells you to do. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Obey the Spirit of the living God tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Obey His bidding. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. Come on, somebody else. There's another one or two here. Praise God. Let the Lord retouch you. Amen. In some areas in your life, you're lacking tonight. May the Lord bless you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Okay? I want all the ministers to come and stand behind these people right here that's here tonight. All the ministers that's here. I'm talking about the ministers that's here to call to preach in this meeting. Just, that's what I'm calling right now. Not that we're against you others. Don't listen. Chris, Brother John, who else is here? Oh, Sister Mildred. Praise God. Brother Doc? Praise God. Okay. Praise the Lord. I want you to lay hands on them and start ministering to them. Ask them what they come for and go from there. Okay? Let's all reach our hands out to them and pray for them. Come on, everybody. Praise God. So go right on and minister to them, brother. Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, Chris. Praise God. I'll get this way. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Yes. Amen. Father, touch her sister tonight, Lord. We just lift her up, Father, and ask you to touch her, Father. We pray, God, that you'll just draw her near to you, Lord. We just pray a new, the experience of the Holy Ghost. The fire of God will touch her tonight, Lord, in a mighty way. Father God, we just cut off every attack against her. We cut off anything, Lord, that would hinder and hold her back. She wants more of you, Jesus. We just ask you to draw near to her, Lord God. Lord, you said, draw nigh, and I'll draw nigh to you, Lord. As she cries out for you, Lord Jesus, visit her, Lord. Lord, put the fire of God in her bones. Put the fire of God in her tonight, Lord God. Let the Holy Spirit minister life and health and strength to her, Lord. Draw her near, Jesus. Let the fire of coals from heaven touch her as you did Isaiah, Lord. Touch her, Lord God, in her spirit. Touch her tongue. Touch her life, Lord God. Let the fire burn, Lord. Let the fire consume, Lord. Let the fire, oh God, come into her. Even in her sleep, Lord, minister to her. Lord, give her visions and dreams in the Holy Ghost. Open the Word of God up to her, Lord. Reveal and unveil and show her, Father God, in her heart and life, that which she needs for this hour. Visit her, Lord God, as she cries out, Lord. Oh, Father God, we thank you. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Total healing and restoration. Lord God, in Jesus' name, within our sister, we thank you for it, Lord. In your mighty name, Lord. Amen and amen. Amen. And the Lord is quickening you, sister. He's sure going to show you many things to come. He's going to give you some things concerning the end time, too. And He's going to reveal and unveil some truths to your heart. And as you get in the book, the Lord says, I'm going to just pull back the pages. And things are going to leap out at your spirit that you're going to see and you're going to hear in this hour. So fear not. That which the Lord shall show thee, for I am with thee, I will help thee, and great truth shall come into your heart. And as you submit to the elders and leadership you're under, God says that they will also confirm it as well. Saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Jesus. Bless them, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, Father, touch us, sister, Lord. We pray, Father, you'll just minister your love to her. In the name of Jesus, Father, just touch her in her heart, Lord, her mind, her body. In Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father God. Father, we come against every stronghold around and over her, Father God. We just lift her up before you, Father. This precious one, Father God, minister your love and life to her, Lord. Oh, Father, minister to her, Lord. Hallelujah. Pour in the oil and wine. Pour in the Holy Ghost, Lord. Let a great visitation overshadow her and take her over in this hour, Lord. Oh, Father God, those strongholds, those things that's in her way, blockage, Lord, we break down all mixture and blockage in Jesus' name. We cut it off from her, Father God, in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Pour in the goal, Lord. Pour in that goal into your life, that divine nature, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, the Lord said, here's what the Lord said. He said, I've given you ears to hear, and you'll hear as you walk humbly and as you walk holy before the Lord and keep yourself pure. The Lord said you're going to hear the voice of the Lord, and you're going to hear the voice of the Lord behind you saying, I am the way. When you turn to the left, when you turn to the right, but God said, I'm with thee, and I shall turn you my way. I shall turn you in my direction. So don't fear, God says, I'm with you this night. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. You minister? You minister? Oh, good. Good. Oh, good. 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 No, that's all right. You can go back. Thanks. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Diana, I love you. Praise the Lord. It was good tonight.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.